Full Service Radio is proudly supported and hosted by Simplecast, the easiest way for a podcast creator to publish and distribute audio on the internet. For more information, visit simplecast.com.
Full Service Radio.
Welcome to This Miraculous Life, broadcasting and recording live from the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C. I'm your host, Sarah Oliveri Olumba, and I started this podcast because I have an inherent belief that life is immeasurably, immensely valuable and amazing and wondrous and inspiring and deeply challenging, satisfying, all of the above. And I also have an observation that there is a ton of stuff that gets in the way of us experiencing it that way on a day-to-day basis. So the purpose of this podcast is to remove the bullshit and tune in with the miraculousness of life. And every week we discuss an issue that helps us with that, that allows us to re-notice and realign the miraculousness of this thing that we're participating in called life. So today we are hearing from somebody who is pondering what to do with their career. And I want to read you the letter. And as always, you know, the goal of this show is to tune in with the miraculousness of life, tune out the bullshit, both with an awareness to spirituality, to personal perspective, but also to the science. My background is in positive psychology, so the science of human thriving. And that is something that is important to me to integrate into the show, that I think all of us should be aware of. This is what the research actually shows about what it takes to feel deeply satisfied and fulfilled. So that is what we are doing on this show. And today we are going to apply that to a letter from someone who calls themselves Purposefully Pondering. Alexia, are you ready to hear from Purposefully Pondering?
For sure. That alone makes it feel very purposefully pondering. I feel that.
Yeah. Totally. I know. I like it. I like it too, because it's like, and something that I'm actually going to talk about in response to the letter, it implies a little bit of willingness to explore and have a little bit of patience rather than saying, okay, how do I immediately get to what I want? But rather saying, okay, let me take some time to ponder purposefully with faith that will ultimately lead me to something that is worth it. So we love your name, Purposefully Pondering. So let's see what Purposefully Pondering has to say to me. There's a lot. This is a pretty heavy letter. So here we go. She says, I think it's a she. Dear Sarah, I am the caretaker to my mom who is battling with cancer. Currently, I am in round two of mom care. And in parentheses, she says, I actually do know that this is a she, so I'm just going to use pronouns. In parentheses, she says, and this time I donated the stem cells. Wow. Wow. I was on a hike yesterday and had a bit of an epiphany that each of my jobs I've found out of fear, ego, and scarcity. I'm trying to make choices out of abundance this year instead. And your podcast on burnout had me thinking too. While I don't think that I've made choices passively, for instance, I chose to move across the country, to quit jobs, to do things like hike the Camino that helped me find myself. When it comes to looking for the next job, I've kind of just fallen into something that I need out of the need for paycheck and sometimes the ego. Obviously, money is important to pay the bills. And I believe in manifestation and putting things out there and trusting in God, etc. My winery job, for example, I believe found me because I needed something low commitment, knowing that I had work yet to do. And then she says, it turns out that work was for my mom. So with all that conviction aside, I want to be really intentional about looking for my next job when the time comes, and right now I have a little luxury of time. I would love your help fleshing this out further and maybe some techniques to help me be intentional and identify priorities and needs and wants and passion. How do you think I can begin to figure this all out? How can I eliminate scarcity and ego from my next job choice? Do you have any other suggestions for me? I just know I have to do things differently this time. That's how we grow. I hope that you are doing well on your own journey. Thank you. Sincerely, purposefully pondering. Wow. Well, first of all, purposefully pondering, the way that you've written this letter tells me that you have already done some really profound work in your own life, and that, you know, these things that you name that you're aware of, scarcity, ego, that just by having that awareness, you've already liberated yourself from some of the things that many people are subconsciously controlled by until the day that they die, right? So I want to really honor you and celebrate you for that, because I can see by the examples that you named in your letter, quitting jobs, moving across the country, hiking the Camino, I think that's how you say it, you know, even being willing to sort of pause your life in some ways, I presume, to be a caretaker to your mother, you know, taking the winery job just because that's what your intuition suggested was the right thing to do without really knowing exactly why or for what. Those things tell me that you're headed in a good direction. You know, you already have done some of the work to shed the ego and shed the scarcity. And it sounds like that has allowed you to really call out those things as players in your life. And what I get from this letter is that you're ready to remove them completely. You know, that the things you named in your letter that have truly been successes to celebrate. And I think you describe many brave, generous, you know, things that we don't do unless we're really kind of awake to our own life. But also your awareness that even in choosing those things, it sounds like you've been like hanging on a little bit to the rope of scarcity and of ego. So it's like doing a brave thing, but also still making sure that you keep those like safety blankets around just in case, you know, just in case that's really necessary. And it sounds like you're ready to take it to the next level. So, A, I honor you and I'm impressed and proud of you. And B, I feel you, and I've experienced that in my own life of being like, okay, that was really good, Sarah. And that growth that you already did was kind of hard and often painful, but now you're ready for the real work type of thing. So I want to check in with Alexia about what you shared in your letter and just see if any of it is resonating with her. I think the career question is very relatable. And then I'll get into answering the questions that you ask, because I do have some ideas.
Yeah, very relatable, like you said. And I think you pretty much hit the nail on the head. I'm incredibly impressed when I think about the conversation that you had with your listeners about burnout and how we are constantly striving to prove things, constantly striving to caress our egos. And that's where the burnout comes from, which is something I've been thinking about a lot since you've said that.
Yeah.
It is really cool to hear this story and this narrative of someone who has kind of reached that point of saying, like, okay, I'm going to take a step back and I'm going to lead where things should lead me. And it's an incredible demonstration of faith, I think, for sure.
I love that. Yeah. What a powerful thing faith is. Absolutely. Thanks, Alexia. Well said. And I like the kudos that you gave to the writer. I love that. I like when we celebrate the people who send us these letters. I think just by sending us a letter already says something significant and something to be celebrated. So purposefully pondering. So the first two steps are things that since you've been listening, you probably are already familiar with. But the first two things I want to emphasize in starting to think about. So let's see, the way that you put it is, you know, basically you want to make sure that your next job, that you don't choose it out of scarcity and ego. That seems to be your goal. How can I begin to figure all this out? How do I eliminate scarcity and ego from my next job choice? That, I think, is the key question, and I love that. So the first two ideas that I have that you are probably very familiar with is, number one, know your core values. So we've talked about this a number of times. I have an exercise when I do coaching one-on-one that I lead people through that helps me to draw out through asking them, you know, many, many questions that will give me insight into what they are putting value in, that I call understanding their current operating system. So I ask many questions that sort of throughout the course of which people reveal to me all that they are valuing, you know, consciously, subconsciously, helpful, harmful, you know, things that they're proud of and things that maybe they wish that they hadn't, that I hadn't been able to notice. But that is the purpose of the exercises, to draw all of that out. And then once we know what all the values are that are influencing you, again, I call that your current operating system, then we can start to assess what's there. It's like, it's kind of like getting an internal roadmap of your subconscious mind and then saying, oh, okay, these look like wrong turns, you know, or these look like they have me going in circles, right? Or going down dead ends or never ending roads. And I would like to eliminate those from my decision-making process as best I can. On the other hand, these other things that I'm valuing and putting stock into, those are what I believe is actually the meaning and purpose of life. This is what I would be proud to say that I have organized my life and my decisions around. And those are your core values. So I think honing in on, I usually say as a good rule, 4 to 6 core values. And it can be even fewer, but more than 6 core values, and it starts to become just not enough of a distilled sort of laser focused list of what really matters most to you. And again, examples of core values are things like, and there could be hundreds of core values, but core values are things like love, bravery, gratitude, connection. For some people, family is a core value. For some people, growth is a core value. For some people, faith is a core value. For some people, spirituality is a core value. For someone, aliveness may be a core value. Naturalness, enjoyment could be a core value. Helpfulness could be a core value or contribution. So there could be many, many core values. Some of my core values are love and bravery and aliveness. And so the first thing is to go through a journey of looking deep within yourself to understand all of the values that are influential in your life and to ultimately hone in on what you want to claim as, you know, 4 or 5, maybe even 6 values that you say, this is what I believe is the essence of life and what I want the essence of my life to be about. And therefore, I would like these values to be at the core of every decision that I make. So A, know your core values. And then B, the flip side of that is know your demons. You know, so the current operating exercise that I described, where you understand all the values that are influencing the way you operate, within that is often, yes, some of your core values or all of your core values, but also your demons. So the values that you are caring about that are influencing you, but that are, as purposefully pondering, sort of points to, that are coming from a place of scarcity or of ego or of need to prove yourself or from fear, right? And those are the values that we care about, that we do put stock into, but that ultimately are not serving us, are not moving us in the direction of our best, deepest, most miraculous life. Those are the values that we want to be aware of and be able to articulate what they are in order that we can eliminate them from the decision-making process. And if we are not aware of our demons, then it's impossible to eliminate them from the decision-making process, right? If I don't know what my demons are, then they're just going to remain as subconscious influencers that are sort of consistently guiding me astray or whispering bad advice into my ear. So the second thing, after understanding clearly what are those few values that you have decided this is what matters most to me, then also understanding what are those values that you struggle to not care about, right? That you do care about, but that you don't want those to be the essence of your life. And so it's important to know what those are so that, especially in making a big decision like a job or a career, that we can check the decision against those demons and make sure that this is not the primary reason for making this decision. And I think asking that question to ourselves specifically when we are making a decision is a valuable exercise to engage in. So literally, when it comes to making a career decision, and I'll say, like, this can go for other decisions as well. This can go for financial decisions. This can go for relationship decisions. But literally, when deciding whether to pursue a career or to take a job, asking yourself, you know, are my demons influencing this decision? And if so, how? And if my demons weren't part of the equation, is this still what I would want to do? So for example, for me, security is a demon. You know, security is one of my demons. And, you know, I wouldn't have started my business. I wouldn't be a life coach if I was being fully influenced by my demon of security. You know, I maybe would have gotten a job where somebody would give me a paycheck on a certain interval of time that was going to definitely be for the same amount every time that interval came around. So I think this can be as specific as when we're looking at a career path or even, you know, getting ready to submit a job application, saying, okay, what role do each of my demons play in me making this decision? And literally going through the list. So for me, I might say, you know, what does my demon of security have to say about this decision? What does my demon of attractiveness have to say about this decision? And, you know, every demon may or may not be relevant, but I think it's good to check in with everyone. You know, what does my demon of being liked have to say about this decision? And going through each of those demons to make sure that there's nothing there, and to remove their ability to influence the decision by looking at them head on and really understanding A, what each of them are, but B, asking yourself directly what influence they have in each decision that you are facing. Does this make sense, Alexia? Do you feel like you would be, is that something that you feel like you could apply to your own life?
Yeah, I think it's good. And something that I'm thinking as an application of this further down the road is, once you realize like what your, to use your terms, what your demon has to say about this decision and that decision, mm-hmm. you start to minimize the fact that they even exist, because mm-hmm. I feel like the acting upon them is what makes them exist and like cause them Amen. To have pull over our lives. So once you are able to mitigate that demon's ability to create action in your life, then that starts to minimize it overall, to the point where you don't have to maybe think about it as much.
Girl, that makes me so happy.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, what you just said, I literally just got chills, because what you just said, that is the whole point. Like, that is the whole goal, that every time we ask ourselves about the role that the demon is playing and basically remove the demon from having power to influence a decision by consciously thinking through how it would influence said decision and then choosing otherwise, by not acting on the demon, just as you said, we start to retrain our brain basically to feel like it's possible to have a good life without satisfying that demon. And we become slowly less and less uncomfortable with not satisfying the demon. I know that was a lot of double negatives, but does that make sense? So yeah, basically our tolerance for living in a state that doesn't please the demon of, you know, whatever it is. For me, security is a demon. Status might be a demon. What other people think might be a demon. We develop a tolerance for doing things that fly in the face of that demon. And eventually that just becomes who we are. It becomes our way of life. And maybe one day we won't even have that as a demon anymore. Absolutely. Amen. Amen. So once you know what your core values and your demons are, I think the next step is to start exploring what is possible. What is possible for your life? What is possible for your career? What jobs exist in the world? And this is where a lot of my clients honestly kind of struggle, because I think it's hard for people. And that's why I like the name of this letter, the sign off, Purposefully Pondering, because I think that this particular step is kind of all about purposefully pondering. And the way that I encourage people to think about generating possibilities is to think of it as a brain dump, which implies that you're not narrowing anything down. You're not committing to anything. You're not coming up with anything profound. You know, this is not a list of answers. This is literally just a list of all that is possible. And it doesn't have to be realistic. It doesn't have to be something that you know you want to do. But I think having a time, and maybe even having that time be ongoing, depending on, you know, what stage of feeling like you've committed to something that you really are pleased with, you are in, but maybe this goes on for some time. I think this can be a working document, this brain dump. But what this means to me is that it's really important to just have a perspective of consistently looking around to see what is out there, you know, like going through, this is an exercise I recommend to people, going through every single person on your Facebook friend list and trying to figure out what their job is. And I like Facebook for this more than LinkedIn because I think there's more variety. You know, LinkedIn is a professional network. A lot of people are on there, yes, but some people aren't. And I think we often tend to be linked with people who do stuff similar to what we have done in the past or are already doing. Not always. I think LinkedIn can be used as well. But the exercise is really meant to just start a process in your brain of going through every person that you know, like every acquaintance you've ever had, and thinking, what are they doing? You know, and the only purpose of this is just to start to generate awareness in your mind of what is out there. Like, what are all the possibilities? And then starting to note down possibilities that could possibly be interesting to you without committing to anything, without saying, yes, definitely, you know, without saying this is realistic or I can afford to do this, but just generating possibilities before trying to narrow the possibilities down. So that is kind of the crux of this. What I see people doing is trying to narrow the possibilities before they even figure out what all is possible. And I think first, it's important to look around and see what all do I want to consider? What's possible? What are other people doing? What is one person doing? You know, and then once you feel like you have kind of a robust awareness of what is possible, then to start narrowing it down. So let's talk about the narrowing it down part. I think that narrowing it down is, of course, not the easy part, but I think there are a number of things that are important for us to factor in as we start to assess the possibilities that we've generated. And to me, the first thing that allows somebody to have a career and a job that, let's see, as you put it, purposefully pondering, you said, you named a bunch of things. I can't find it. Oh, yeah. You said priorities, needs, wants, and passion. Okay. So this is really interesting because those are four different things, right? Priorities is one thing. Needs is one thing. Wants is another thing. And passion is another thing. So A, I recommend that you make a separate list of what all of those things are. And to not make the mistake of assuming that those things are the same. And I think even sometimes these things clash, right? So A, make a list. What are your priorities? And I think the core values can help inform that. What are your needs? So this can be more practical stuff. What are your wants and what are your passions? So my personal opinion is that wants and passions are incompatible with practicality. And this is where I think what you speak about as it relates to scarcity comes in. I think that scarcity and practicality can be easily confused. But I do have a belief, right or wrong, that passion and practicality do not coexist, at least in the initial phases of starting something new and pursuing a passion. And so my idea is this, that as you start to think about the possibilities for your job and your career, that if what you are craving is a job that you are passionate about and that fulfills your desires, that you must be willing to let go of practicality. You must refuse to be limited by practicality. Now, that doesn't mean that you have to let your basic needs go unmet. Here's the thing that I think a lot of people don't consider, that if you have a vision or a even just a possibility for a job or a career that you think you might feel passionate about, you can give yourself permission to pursue that while meeting your basic needs some other way. Okay. So for example, having a side gig, having a part-time job, you know, doing hourly work, taking out a loan if that's what you need to do, to pay for additional education or to pay for your living expenses while you're getting additional education. All of these things are possibilities. And I'm not, you know, I'm like the most frugal person in the world. So make no mistake about it. I'm not saying just throw caution completely to the wind and spend millions of dollars investing in creating a passion career that's never going to make any money and totally neglecting, you know, the cost of living while you're at it. No, that's not what I'm saying at all. But what I'm saying is that having a career that you're passionate about is a totally different prospect, a totally different question to answer than the question of how do I have a career that I'm passionate about is a completely different question from how do I have a career that provides me financial stability. It's just simply a different question. And so my idea is that if your goal is to have a career that you're passionate about, that in choosing that, refuse to be limited by practicality, but still understand what your basic needs are and have a plan for how those needs can be met. But don't limit your career to only what you feel certain will definitely meet those needs forever. Because if you do, that's very limiting, you know? And you might say like, well, let me sort of land in the middle. I'm not going to be the career that's the most stable, right? But I'm also not going to be the career that's the least stable and then landing somewhere in the middle. But I don't know. I personally think that if what you're after is a career that you really crave and desire, then it's better to actually have both ends of the spectrum. Do one thing to pay the bills and then do the thing that you actually really want to do. And eventually, the thing that you really want to do, if you put enough time and energy and effort and cultivation into it, then it may be able to take the place of that other thing that you're doing just to pay the bills. Alexia, do you know anybody who has done this or failed at this or any of the above? I think that the fear is that people are like, well, then I'm going to be stuck spending a lot of energy doing something that I'm passionate about forever, but I'm never going to have any money and I'm always going to be struggling.
Yeah, that hits a little too hard to home. Just, you know, personally thinking about what I want to do. But I definitely think that the people that I look up to, so like my family and the people who are closest to me, aren't people who take those risks. And so I consider a lot like and evaluate what are the repercussions of that, what does that mean for me and the possibilities that I see for myself. I don't know if that answers your question, but I think it's something valid. I see more of the other side of the spectrum of like choosing stability over belief in some like magnificent like what if,
right?
If that makes sense.
Totally. Yeah, so we have to start to wrap up, and there's more that I want to say. So I do want to do a part two on this career question because I think it's a big and important one. But just to sort of close this last point, which is the point is essentially refuse to be limited by practicality and really map out the difference between your desires, your passions, and your needs, and have a plan for meeting both, but do not expect your career to meet both initially. And I think that that's the thing that I see people who, honestly, people who are interested in work similar to the work that I'm doing, you know, the mistake that I see people make most is that they want the passion career, but they also want that. They want to know, how can I have my passion career and have it be financially viable and stable immediately? And if not, then I guess I can't do it. And I'm like, that's not reasonable. So there has to be, I think, in being a person who desires to pursue a passion, there has to be a plan for both. Like, how do I buy myself, understanding that most careers that people deeply, deeply desire and care about take time to turn into something that does support your basic needs? What is the plan for buying yourself time to do that? So that's the question that I'll close with. And let me summarize the ideas that I have so far, purposefully pondering, for how you can, as you asked, eliminate scarcity and ego from your next career choice. Number one is to get clarity on your core values. Really hone in on those few things that you want to orient all the decisions in your life around and use that as a compass for assessing the options. Number two, and perhaps even more importantly to your specific question, have clarity on your demons. So all of those manifestations of ego and scarcity that manifest as values, what are they? And check every decision that you have about career and job against those demons to A, find out how they are influencing that decision, and then B, to eliminate them from the ultimate outcome of making a decision. Okay. Thirdly, is explore the possibilities. You know, before starting to narrow the possibilities, expand the possibilities. Really look around to see what is out there. What are people making a living doing? Even if it's just one person in the world, put that on the possibility list. That doesn't mean you have to do it. That doesn't mean you have to commit to that. But I think it's important to be honest with ourselves about all that is possible and to explore what is possible so that we're not limited by lack of knowledge or lack of awareness. And then the last thing that we talked about sort of at length today is, once you have some possibilities on the table and are starting to look at those possibilities, to refuse to be limited by practicality and to understand that a career that to understand the distinction between asking yourself the question, what career is going to satisfy my passions? And asking yourself the question, what career is going to satisfy my basic needs? That those are two different questions. Okay. And that if your focus is on what career is going to satisfy my passions, you have to have a plan for meeting your basic needs so that you can buy yourself plenty of time to truly give those passion possibilities a chance. So we'll close with that for today. And I have a few more steps in mind, so we will definitely be doing a follow-up. And if anybody else has questions or objections on this topic, I would love to hear from you. And you can email me at sarah@saraholiveri.com. Have a miraculous day.
Thanks for listening to this program on Full Service Radio, broadcasting and recording from the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C. Full Service Radio programming can be accessed live and archived on fullserviceradio.org. Our talk programming is available on most podcast apps like iTunes and Stitcher, and our DJ sets are available on mixcloud.com/fullserviceradio. Full Service Radio features over 30 weekly shows and over 50 local hosts covering every topic imaginable. If you want to be a guest or get involved, email us at info@fullserviceradio.org. Follow us on Twitter @FullServiceRDO, on Instagram and Facebook @FullServiceRadio. Thanks for listening.